We're in this series talking about returning to our roots and getting back to the picture of the book of Acts and the early church and seeing the picture that is given to us as the diagram, if you would. And I've been working on, I said this to a couple this morning, a message that is called The Blueprint, The Early Church, The Blueprint. And I've been working on it for 5 years. And so I thought I was going to teach on it this morning to begin to teach on it. But the Lord directed me to go in another direction. And this is something that I planned on doing about a month from now. But how many know I'm not the boss? Jesus is. And so I felt as confident as I ever have that the Lord had shut the other word or message down for today. And I want to just read a very familiar verse to us in the book of 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. John is writing, and he's writing to Gaius, or however you say his name. And then in verse 2, he says this, "Beloved, I pray." Say, "I pray." So he is in intercession in prayer. I was reading a stupid commentary this morning that was talking about this, and it says, because the rest of the verse, let me go on. But it goes, "I pray that in all respects you may prosper and that you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers." The word prosper there means to receive abundance, to be blessed, to experience the prosperity of God. So over the last decade, especially in the church that we have talked about and seen the excess of what a lot of you may have heard the term prosperity gospel. And there's been a lot of criticism, and some of it rightfully so. And some of you have watched the stupid videos and of all the mansions that certain preachers got and everything. So we kind of gotten to a point that we have become so anti-prosperity in that sense that we don't talk about it at church much anymore. There's very little talk. But the reality is, if the opposite of prosperity would be poverty. Bill Johnson always says this way. He says, "I've been broke and I've had money, and having money is a lot better than being broke." How many would say yes? So the reality is this, that sometimes when there's excesses or if there's false teachings or people can use the word of God maybe for their own gain or for their, you know, to preach something. So sow $1,000 today and the Lord will step right up, you know, so that it is like this manipulation that is used of the gospel. But the reality is this, is it does not change truth. The Bible is true. Whatever it says is true. And so this is probably one of the first times in my life that I'm actually, my income doesn't come from you. And you know, 30 years when I would teach on something, I'm always in the back of mind, they know that they actually pay my salary. I don't have that today, so I can say what I want. No, I'm just kidding. But I was thinking about that this morning, that in our lives, there is three things that are crucial to us walking in joy and peace. Number one is relationships, our relationships with one another, our relationship with the Lord. The second thing is our health, our body. When you're sick, when you're in pain, life sucks, right? How many ever been in pain? Yeah, it sucks. And the third thing is this, is that when we're broke and when we're going through the tensions of the lack and poverty in our lives, it can bring, it's such a crushing thing. It's such a defeating thing. And it just robs us of the joy and peace that God. So the reality is that though there's a lot of excesses, a lot of false teachings and things taken too far or greed being involved in stuff, it doesn't change the truth of the Word of God in our lives when it comes to our finances. And when I was praying about this, I was looking at the early church and I seen how that they were people that knew how to give, knew how to serve, and knew how to walk in the blessings of God, doing great difficulties, persecution. The government was against him. Society was against him. Their employers were against them. That everything in the culture was oppressing them, but they lived in a place of generosity and giving, and the Lord took care of them in the midst of all of that, just like the Lord can take care of us no matter what the future holds, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what your 401k does, that the Lord will keep us in the palm of his hand and take care of us. And so I was looking at a lot of people don't realize that when you talk about the issue of finances and money in the Bible, it is one of the number one subjects spoke of throughout the Word. I remember even studying this earlier. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell put together. It is all through the Word of God. So we must talk about it because it affects our lives. It affects our families. And I was thinking about this in a great verse in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. That the Apostle Paul, he brings to remembrance the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the last line. These were the words of Jesus. Same with me. It is more blessed to give than receive. Now, you know, when people go like, if anything in you goes like, oh, that just makes me mad, you just got mad at Jesus. Because he's the one that said it, right? And so, In the book of Acts, we see this place of generosity. Acts chapter 4, where it talks about that the people were coming, laying money at the feet of the apostles. It wasn't for the apostles to buy a new Cadillac. They didn't have cars, I know. But it was for the needs of the body, to meet the needs of the body and for the kingdom of God to be extended. And as I was thinking about this, one of the issues that is discussed a lot today within the church is the concept of tithing. And a lot of people, you know, of course, they're going to go to a place where they talk about tithing is Old Testament and it's the law. Well, there's a couple of quick things. Number one, tithing was before the law. How many remember that? It was a concept, a principle that was established in the Word before the law. It was in the law. When Jesus was alive walking upon the earth, he even said with his mouth that you give tithes and it's a good thing. He said, he confirmed it, and then it's talked about again in the book of Hebrews. That's not my goal today, is to go through all of that. But there's such a movement that has happened within the last decade, especially when it comes to the subject of tithing, where people say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, not coveting your neighbor's wife is Old Testament too. Thou shalt not kill. That's the law. That's the law too. So what I'm saying is this, that I do understand the argument. I do understand the idea that we are no longer under the law, that we're under grace. I understand that. And there's an argument to be said in that, but the reality is that we must also look at the Word of God as not just laws, but it's principles that God has given us. So there's the principle of the kingdom of God and walking in those principles. The reality is this, and I've never wanted to say this before because, you know, you're pastoring people and you're thinking, it sounds like manipulation. But the reality is, if Old Testament is tithing, if the law is tithing, then the New Testament is everything. And I'm not talking about you giving everything to this church what it means is this, is everything I have, Lord, belongs to you. And I tell you, when God began to speak to me about this, I did have a revelation that tithing is Old Testament. But what happened when I put together this teaching that I'm about ready to do today, that the spirit of generosity came upon me and I gave way more than I ever did before under the law. It didn't cause me to give less. It caused me to give more. Now, I was thinking about this as what God is wanting to do in this hour as we become the New Testament church in that New Testament covenant, is he's wanting to build a culture of generosity in us and among us. And I was thinking about this when Jesus was teaching on the subject in Luke chapter 16. He said, and I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall or when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is the least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What is he talking about? He's talking about our finances. And that when we're not faithful in the least, which is just mammon, which is just, you know, money, then we are unfaithful in everything else. It becomes a principle that we live, that when we're faithful with our finances, that it overflows into the every other area in our lives. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, true riches? If you're not faithful in that, how can God give you true riches? And he's not talking about true riches here, about you getting more money or more things. He's talking about him, his glory, his presence. That's what true riches are. They are things that are established forever, for eternity. And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Here's the famous verse. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So it's talking about walking in a place of true riches where money does. I have money, but money don't have me. And that ultimately, everything I am, everything that I live by is serving him and doing what he wants me to do. Because sometimes he asks me to do things that are very much not what I want to do. How many have ever been asked by God to do something you did not want to do? And so what God is wanting to do in our lives is not just bring some kind of law thing and you better give or you broke covenant and you're going to be... I'm not talking about moving back under the law, but that we live our lives out of a culture and a spirit of generosity that flows out of us. Look in Proverbs 11, 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters also will be watered himself. Do we believe the Bible? We believe that it will confirm in our lives what it says. Proverbs 11, 24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Walking in that place of generosity before the Lord. So let's just kind of go through this real quick. Number one, becoming more like our Papa, he is generous. Becoming more like Father God, and God is generous. Say that with me. God is generous. That's his nature, and I want to be like him. The very nature of Father God is generosity. For God so loved, he gave the world. Psalms 51, verse 12, and just lifting out of there. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Uphold me, Lord, by your generous spirit. The nature of generosity is revealed in Father God to us. Think about this, the generosity of the Lord, how it flows out of our life. Number one is looking at life. What does Jesus do? What does God do? He gives you life more abundantly. Giving to us, he gives us exceedingly, pressed down, shaking together. The light at night, think about the you know, he made lights in the night, millions of stars that can't be numbered. How many know he's extravagant, isn't he? He didn't just make a star. Wow, that's a star. Millions of stars, millions of galaxies. Multitude hungry. Remember, and what did Jesus do? He fed them, and what they collected the leftovers, there were 12 baskets left over because he gives abundantly. And when I really was thinking about this, the Father and the Godhead gave out of who they are. They gave themselves. Jesus Christ came, his son. The Father gave his only begotten son. How many know he's a big giver? He's a big giver. Generosity. God is not wasteful, but he's extravagant. When God's nature gets in us, we become like him. Therefore, we become generous. Generosity is a strong theme in the Bible. God is so generous to us. He gives us the spirit of generosity. He wants us to utilize it by being generous to others. A spirit of generosity is the motivation put into action. So when I am motivated by generosity, it puts me into action and I give out of that when I even don't want to give. I was thinking about, because it's not just about money. Thinking about this a couple days ago, it's pouring the rain, I'm late for something, and someone is broke down on the side of the road in their minivan, and I hate to admit, I actually passed by and then like, oh, turn around, go back to help. Because what are we motivated by? The needs of the lives of people that we see every day, what is motivating us? And if we're walking like the Father, we're going to be motivated by generosity. John 1:16, we all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. The gifts of the Father. We live off the bounty of the Lord in our lives. Deuteronomy, give generously to him and do so without a grudgingly in our hearts. Always be generous. Open purse and hands. Give to your neighbors in trouble, your poor and your hurting neighbors. Deuteronomy 16:9. Give as generously as God, your God, has blessed you. Psalms 145, verse 16. Generous to a fault, you lavish your favor on all creatures. Acts 2:46. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. It is all through the Bible. We just don't like talking about it because we become uncomfortable. The reality is we live in a world that is worshiping at the feet of the spirit of Mammon. Mammon is an Old Testament God that had to do with money, that had to do with prosperity, had to do with wealth. And they would worship this God thinking that then they would get money, they would get blessed. But the actuality behind it was a demon. It was demonic. And so what Jesus is doing is he teaching them from something that used to be saying that it may look different, it may come in a different form, but it's the same God, the God of Mammon, where people are serving money. How many know we live in a nation where Mammon is very supreme in the worship of the hearts of people in our culture? It was a false god, a demonic spirit, and you become a servant to it. The word that we look at a lot of times and we talk about is the word greed. Fleshly lust for money and possessions. Jeremiah says, from the least to the greatest, their lives are ruled by greed. How many know that's why people rob, that's why they steal, that's why they embezzle, that's why they'll do whatever they have to do to make a buck, right? They will sell their soul, if you would, sometimes. Because you're motivated by greed, and you think that going after it and even subtly worshiping it, that you're going to get it and that it's going to make you happy. But the reality is that when we live in a place by the Spirit of God in our lives where the spirit of generosity is within us, then God will take care of us and God will bless us and God will keep us and we will live in peace and happiness and we will not be subservient to money. Money will not be what makes our decisions, but God will make our decisions. You can't serve two masters. Number three, an outpouring of God will not be sustained without a spirit of generosity. I really believe that we're moving into an hour and day in the church as we get back to our roots, that God is going to pour out his spirit. In my mind, my opinion, it's going to be one last time before he returns. And a lot of people are saying, well, you're saying Jesus couldn't come back right now? Well, he can do whatever he wants to do. But I still have this faith in my heart and belief that there is going to be one last great outpouring. But I want you to understand that this issue, though that we don't talk about it very much, we may not come back to it a whole lot, but this issue of generosity has to be in the culture of a move of God. And it is necessary even to sustain that. In the book of Acts, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what happened? Generosity broke out. And I've never seen this before in that way or in that clarity. But when the Spirit of God moved upon the people, all of a sudden, then they began to break out in generosity. Why? Because they were motivated by the Holy Spirit. The motivation of generosity is the motivation of love and kindness. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because we're motivated by the love of God, that place of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Sometimes as Christians, we've given for so many years that we don't even do it by faith anymore. When I put my envelope in that box back there, it's not about me doing something because, well, I'm obliged, or they're going to take my membership away if I don't pay much. None of that. It is by the spirit of generosity in walking obedience to God, knowing that I'm in relationship with the Lord, and this is one of the acts that is part of my relationship with God, is walking in a place of giving, even though we don't like talking about it. So much of the American culture is based on the idea, what can I receive and not what I can give. That's even how people choose churches. What do they got for me? What can I receive? You know, it's about what can I give? What can I sow? I'm not even just talking about money. When Jesus came, it was to give his very life, and he said it was the joy set before him. There's a divine joy receive and giving that flows from the very nature of God's love. Isaiah 32, verse 8, but a generous man devises generous things, and by a generosity he shall stand. Because we understand that as we flow in that you are not my source, my job is not my source, God is my source. I remember years ago, I came into a real remote village on the border of Uganda and Kenya, and there was a church there, and there was several hundred people, and they had been meeting out under a tree for 10 years, just like a big tree. It was their church under the tree. And they wanted to build a building, and they just didn't have the resources to do it. And when I came into that village and I heard the story, I just asked the question, how much money would it cost to build their church? And they surprisingly told me they could build one for $1,600 American dollars. How many know you can't buy a rug for $1,600 American dollars? And so I was able to make a few phone calls back to America, talk to some of the church leaders that we had at that time. And I can remember the day that I rolled down the window and the pastor was standing there, and I said, you know what, we'll give you the money to build your church. And so he told everyone that was behind him in the congregation. And this was something that just blew my mind, is that all of a sudden, all the people began to jump and dance and shout and scream. But they weren't doing it for me. They were doing it for the Lord, because they knew the Lord is the one that provided for them. It wasn't me. I didn't get it for them. The Lord provided it for them. But the reality was that I tried to communicate this to the hearts of the congregation when I got back to America, that that moment when their spirit of generosity was being released from our church, it was nothing, $1,600, nothing. But when that was released from our church and they began to shout, there was just this feeling that came over me that I can't describe, and it can't be replaced, and it can't be duplicated. But I sat there and cried before the Lord because I understood that the revelation they were walking in is that the Lord was their source. And that I was, and I was blessed. I was so blessed and privileged just to be a part of it and to watch it and to experience it. That was worth more than any amount of money I'll ever see or do or receive. There is something about when the spirit of generosity is in operation in your life that there is such a joy and a peace and something. It's like you get repaid even in the very moment. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ." That's a great verse, man. 2 Corinthians 8:2. "They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are so also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity." Generous with our time, our money, and our resources. In the year 2011, the Lord had instructed me and my family to leave Michigan and to move back to the Idaho, and we were going to take a small church in Boise in 2011. The area of Michigan that we lived in had a housing market crash. I'm not talking about, like, you know, how they dipped in 2007 and 8 and such. I'm talking about, like, there was only two places in the country that were worse than where I lived. It was so bad that I could not sell my house for half of what I owed for it. And it didn't feel too good. We were just in that kind of position, and we're going, "God, you want us to move, but we're going to lose everything." So we ended up, as ashamed as I can say it, we ended up having to short sell the house. There was some laws that were made in that time and that area that helped us do that. So we were in the U-Haul, and we were driving from Michigan to Idaho, and I was having a real issue with God at this time. I said, you know, I'm going, "God, I'm like 40 years old, 40-some years old. I've served you, and not only do I have no equity, have no money, we're making this transition, and I'm not even able to get a mortgage," because they told us at that time that we weren't able to get a mortgage for 7 years because of short selling. I don't know if that's 100% true, but that's what we were told. And so I'm having this big issue with God, and I'm telling you what, as much as any time in my life, as I'm kind of really making the reality was I was making accusations against him. You know, it's one of those, "God, I've done this, and look what you did to me." You know, that as stern as a few times in my life, I just felt like the Lord went, you know. And he said this to me. He says, "You're going to eat those words, because I'm going to so bless you that you're going to feel stupid." I remember that. And it was a series of events that happened when we got into Idaho that it would be too long to tell you about. But we bought a house that was put up for auction by HUD, and they put it up on July the 4th, and no one showed up but me, and I got it for nothing, $55,000, remodeled it, lived in it, paid that off, borrowed the $55,000 off somebody, paid them back, sold the house for three times what I paid for it. Then anyway, this series of events that led, and when we were leaving Idaho to move back to West Virginia, we were able to move here. We bought a dream little farm, 63 acres, a rental, all of our vehicles, and we were 100% debt free. We didn't owe nothing. And, you know, if you could tell by the moral of the story, it wasn't like, wow, Todd, you're such, you must have taken Dave Ramsey course. No, I love financial peace, but no, that wasn't it. It was God. He's my source. And the reality is, we may be, I'm not hoping for, but we may be entering some difficult days in the future in our nation. The fear of issues with money and those kind of things, they might be on our, but the reality is, you serve Jesus Christ. And He is your source. And so when I was thinking about this, we can't be motivated by greed. It's not about what you get. It's about what you can give. Do not live by the motivation of a demonic spirit of fear, that fear of lack, fear of not going to have enough. Part of this is dealing with trusting God, the trust issues. That sometimes we just got to come back to, hey, faith is a good thing, no matter, even though it might have been manipulated a little bit in the church and in some teachings, faith is a reality and it's a cornerstone to our walk with God. And no matter what comes in our future, we live by faith, we walk by faith. We've got to sow the right things and not the wrong things. That's why I bless Israel. That's why I love and pray for Israel. I want to sow the right thing. See, I know that sometimes we move ahead in the story. There was thousands of dollars that were given by this church that right now there is bomb shelters that your money paid for, that there's Israeli people that are going into hiding in right now because of your generosity. So we just kind of, oh, you did that. Now we're moving on. Now remember the things that we don't want to partner with the spirit that's in the world, and we don't want to live also in bad stewardship. So it's good to find people in our lives that'll teach us good stewardship. Now, let's stand up, okay? We're gonna break some stuff off. I have a small little prayer here, but this is not what's important. It's us really believing that the Lord is involved in this moment. This is what I love to see. The Bible says He confirms His word with signs following. We can hear a teaching about this today, and that's good. But the reality is, He will confirm His word in your life, in your family, with signs following. And we'll get through this before my voice completely goes. Okay? So this first part, I'm going to read the first paragraph, then we're going to go back to it. And you don't have to say just this, but Father, we come before You today, and we ask You to forgive us for any way that we partner with the spirit of mammon. We repent and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. So just right now, in Jesus' name, we repent. You don't have to just say it just in your own words. We repent for any way that we've given place to the spirit of mammon. Any place that we have the fear, and I come against any fear, the fear of lack in the believer's life right now. In your mind, the fear of not having enough, the fear of lack. Get out of our minds, get out of our lives. We're not partnering with You. Any way that we've partnered with the spirit of mammon, we've kind of got caught up in it in this world. Lord, in Jesus' name, we repent of that, and we ask for the blood of Jesus just to cleanse us. We renounce every spirit in any way that is connected with the spirit of mammon in our life and family. We break off every generational curse, every generational spirit that is connected to the spirit of mammon. In Jesus' name, we renounce Your authority over our lives, over our bank account, over our property, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, we thank You for Your authority and Your power, Your spirit here. And we say, spirit of mammon, we break Your power over our lives, family and church. Spirit of mammon, the anointing is against you. Get out of our lives now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for the spirit of generosity. The Holy Spirit, we ask you to come even now and deposit in our lives and our families, in this church, the spirit of generosity. I know that many of these people, they're already walking in it, but God, we just pray for it to even come more, and the joy and the peace that comes from that, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, as John did, I pray that you prosper, that you be in health, good health. How many want to move from just healing to health now?
Yes, hallelujah.
I pray that hallelujah. You prosper, be in good health, even as your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, as they prosper. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and worship. Praise you, Lord. 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 The Lord has a very, very unique way that he wants to manifest the gifting inside of you to flow into the lives of others. This is larger than money. There's a unique expression of your life that has an anointed touch to bring help and hope to others. And I'm praying that look, God's been, every bit of what you said, the Lord's dealt with me about this. How many of you faced the fear of lack in your life? And the Lord crushed, he took that thing, the roots of that out of me. It's amazing that when you deal with that, other aspects of generosity begin to flow from your life. Would you go ahead and just put your hands over your heart? Father God, because it doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. It says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It's amazing. Flip the other way around. Go ahead, honey.
Before we do that, I just want to thank you. Not because I need to thank you. We thank the Lord. This building, our presence in this area, is because of your generosity. There are many times this building costs a lot. It's an old building and she creaks. That's all I can say. More than maybe some other church would. And there have been many times that Roger and I just shake our head and say, how come we're still open? How come we still have a salary? How come we can pay the maintenance and all of that? And it's because the Lord wants us here, and he says that through the generosity of his people. And the more you sow in any realm, whether it's giving, serving, whatever it is, giving away your clothes, and I'm to a friend, whatever, the Lord says, I will give back to you. And you surely can think of times that you have given, and when you had need, you had. Is that true? Okay, is there not a time when you have given away and not said, well, I'm going to go, and now there's nothing wrong with garage sales and stuff like that, making money off of something. Sometimes it's okay to do. But I think we're in a season where we need to sow more. I mean, that's just my opinion, you know. We just went through our closet. We have so many beautiful clothes that we don't need to wear anymore, that someone will enjoy, and we're going to sew them. And I can tell you from experience, when we have need of something new and a little more fashionable, there's always money there to purchase it. So think like that, beloved. You know, give away. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They gave everything away, right? To people who had need. In Acts. And I love that Pastor Todd, come up here for a second, because as pastor, as you know, it was your message, the generosity of life and you and Nicole and everyone here, you know, it's amazing. God is amazing, his generosity. Thank you for teaching it that way. Wasn't that refreshing? Yeah, I mean, very refreshing. And a great reminder that as everything begins to pressure in on us in these last days, not to lose your generosity. Do not get fearful at lack, that you will not have enough. Continue to sow as the Lord shows you how to do that. He's good. Yours are good.
How many of you feel like, I know, look, my heart has received the greatest treasure because of Todd and Nicole. My heart is transformed by the grace of God, the generosity of God. Remember we said last week, when God brings a message, he actually brings a person. And I just want to say on this, may the generosity of Jesus flood your heart so that you become the message and the person in the lives of those around you. Amen. We are dismissed. Praise God.